Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. Well, we got a new software version last night, version 13.2.4, full self-driving, on build 2024-45-25.15. Some interesting things about this software version we're gonna talk about. It's Sunday morning. We are gonna do a Memorial Park first impressions drive, see if there's any differences. The release notes were the same. I do have my route in here. And just to show everybody, there is no press to drive button yet. So still tap to activate, press the pedal to drive, you know, so there is no starting from park yet on the Cybertruck. But once it's engaged, I'm going to do this drive in standard and we'll go from there. It is chilly this morning, Florida style, right around 32, 33 degrees. I do have my 360 camera mounted on the roof, hopefully with a better mount, and I also have a tether. We'll see how that goes. But to start out, here's our first unprotected left-hand turn. Like I mentioned, this is low traffic Sunday morning, so there's not gonna be any traffic to speak of. Oh, don't go for that. Wow, you're going for that. Oh, wow, you went for that. That car had to stop for us. It wasn't dangerous because I had a bailout. There was no oncoming traffic from the other direction, but it jumped in front of traffic that it shouldn't have there. It worked, but it didn't go aggressively. Like, it had to get across the street. I'm not really happy with that. Let's try another one. Okay, here we go again. Let's try that again. The primary reason I didn't like the way it jumped out in front of that car is because it was the classic scenario of, it had all the room in the world behind that car, and instead it chose to jump out in front of the car and make the other vehicle move. Now we're wide open. Definitely no question mark maneuver here. No oncoming traffic from the right. So the question mark seems to have been removed. Not exactly sure why. I'm gonna go ahead and edit the trip to force a U-turn now. And we'll pay attention to the road, Chuck. I don't know what to chalk that up to. You know, jumping out in front of traffic on the unprotected left-hand turns is my biggest worry. High-speed cross traffic is what scares me the most. We only have the B pillar looking to the left. It's kind of doesn't have the benefit of parallax until they can get the front bumper camera, hopefully, to see that far. So here's a scenario. We have an unprotected forward-facing left. Okay, good. See, there was just one car coming, and I was like, yeah, it could have tried, but now let's just wait. Now let's see how smooth this, very slow and uncomfortable. If there was oncoming traffic, I'd have disengaged there. Very tight, the radius of turn is amazing. And if it was using the amount of time it had because it knew there was oncoming traffic, that's fine. But I have seen those U-turns go that slow and even with oncoming traffic, once it starts the maneuver, it just has to complete it. I've never seen any urgency. Matter of fact, yesterday on a previous version, I was doing an unprotected U-turn just like that, and it just kept on lethargically going slow, and this oncoming traffic was coming, and it was a safety critical disengagement, I would argue, because I was depending on the other traffic to effectively stop in the middle of the road at high speed when I was doing a U-turn I shouldn't have done. So that's my thought on U-turns. If you've got all the room in the world, take all the time you need. But if you've got a tight window, you've got to execute it with confidence and speed. And also, you need to know when to bail out somehow. Hoping traffic is going to stop is not a plan. What we used to say in the Navy, you know, hope isn't a strategy. Obviously, that's been used many other places than just the Navy. But okay, anyway, let's move on from that. A little disappointed on the first unprotected left turn and the U-turn. With very low traffic, it jumped out in front of traffic on the first one, and the U-turn was just executed really, really slowly. I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt on the U-turn because I didn't have any traffic, but the fact that it had just jumped out in front of another vehicle on the left turn didn't give me any confidence there. Anyway, I am still in love with version 13. It drives very, very well once we get out here on the roads. Getting out onto the roads and making some of the turns are where kind of the warts show a little bit. And it's because it's just not as confident as the Model Y. And I've only driven this version here for less than 3 minutes now, and I can already sort of tell it just doesn't have that Model Y confidence. Forward-facing unprotected left with a flashing yellow arrow, no traffic coming, and it didn't even think. It just continually rolled it. That was good. Crossing the railroad tracks, nice slow speed there, went all the way down to 12. No problem there. So, what happened last night? So last night around, I don't know, it was in the evening, I was watching the NFL football games, and my son's AI3 Model Y started getting a new FSD version, 12.6.1. And I had him send me a screenshot. He lives about 5.5, 6 hours away in Pensacola, Florida. I live in Jacksonville, so there wasn't a way of me driving it with him. But this car does seem to still be on early access, so it could be a good canary of upcoming software, the fact that he got it. And there were other reports of other people getting it too. And what we saw was it was this new build, 2024.45.25.15. Let me double check on that. I think I got all those numbers right. Yeah, 45.25.15. And that was a new build on 12.6.1. And I great, chalked it up. And then I woke up this morning around 5:30 and the Cybertruck was getting 2024.45.25.15. And this is kind of a new thing. This is perhaps the first time this has ever happened. So the exact same software build date and build number, 45.25.15 in the year 2024, just watching very slowly go across this divided intersection. It did not need to go that slow, but it was acting like it needed to creep on that second median there. But I've got FSD 13.2.4. On this version. Let me make double check that. I'm still trying to get used to all these numbers. Yep, FSD 13.2.4. So with the exact same build number, we've got FSD 12.6.1 and FSD 13.2.4, one on the Hardware 4 Cybertruck and one on the Hardware 3 Model Y. That is kind of a new thing. Okay, let me pay attention here. No traffic coming from the left or the right. This is the suicide lane turn. And let's see, if it shouldn't even go in the suicide lane because there's no oncoming traffic. And it just rolled right through. No problem there. That was good. It's not really much of a test without any traffic other than perhaps looking for maneuvers or confidence around turns. I would say that was very slow and methodical. Doesn't quite have the oomph that the Model Y does of confidence kind of in the back of your, you know, lower back. You kind of feel that confidence. It feels a little different. Now, granted, this vehicle is a lot heavier. Editing the trip to continue the route on round. So it's going to feel different anyway. The release notes, I shared them on X this morning. You can find them on X. They're essentially going to be out there by everybody. They are the exact same that I can see from FSD 13.2.2 that this vehicle was on before. So no change in release notes. Which is a little frustrating, especially since they combined this with an AI3 build of FSD to not understand why did you even release this and what changed. Right-hand turn there, smooth, no problems. Very confident rolling into that. Never had any problems with that turn, but just kind of talking out loud while the vehicle does it. Interesting in standard mode, it got in the left lane right here. I don't know why it's been doing that. I think it's done that on almost every one of my FSD drives in this truck. I'm in standard mode. It's not like I'm in a hurry and I can justify the left lane. Just a point of note that's how it's behaving. Anyway, so back to the release notes. There was a time when they gave us very detailed release notes on every software release, and I will admit they were probably more technical than the average Tesla customer needed to read. But when we get software updates that, you know, took weeks to come out like this build did, I hadn't had an update in a couple weeks on this car, understanding there's a lot of people that have waited a lot longer than that for their vehicles, especially the Hardware 3, Model 3 folks. I just don't know what changed. I mean, probably the most notable change on this build was the fact it has the same build number, branch number as a Hardware 3. Look at this, pause here. It's completely stopped at a green light with two opposing cars. There's nobody behind me. And now it's going. I would have normally intervened there to take over. I'm going to take a snapshot for that for the team. Because I don't know, it was treating it like a four-way stop sign and those cars were going to go. The reason I didn't intervene there is because I was trying to figure out whether I didn't see something and it did, like the black cat a few months ago. Obviously, a disengagement is a good marker. The Tesla AI team is probably watching this video, and that snapshot data recording will give them some data from that to see what it was doing. But a green light proceed, then stopped as if it didn't have the right-of-way. That wasn't what I would call good, especially on a low-traffic day. I don't know, maybe it needs more traffic. Let me edit the trip again here. So with those two small little things, you know, this is the first few minutes of this drive. I'm not saying it's any worse than 13.22, but I'm not seeing like any drastic changes so far. The speed profiles we've had for a while, I'm very happy with the way they're generally implemented, meaning like it's not always perfect of what I would do. And I find myself bouncing in between modes occasionally. For the purposes of testing, I'm gonna try to stay in standard because I just want a consistent behavior across the vehicle for measurement purposes and to not confuse it. And I did get some feedback from some of the viewers that said, hey, stop messing with the profiles while you're driving because you're changing the variables in real time. That was valid. Okay, so now we're merging. We're gonna do a little bit of highway here. There is a truck here stopped on the road. It'll be interesting to see if it goes. It did. It changed lanes a little earlier than it normally does. So it definitely, I think, went around that truck. It was going to have to get into this lane anyway, but on previous merges, it kind of waited a little bit longer. Still used the blinker. Okay, so no traffic to interfere with down below, behind me in my mirror. So it's just essentially merging. Very good acceleration. It's already up to 71, just as it was getting off of the merge ramp. So that speed was good. I did a 12-hour drive from Jacksonville to Louisville for a beekeeping convention a few weeks ago. And I posted a couple videos about it on X. It's probably not news to most of you. But no kidding, on the highway, I went 12 hours without touching the steering wheel or the accelerator pedal on the way there. On the way back, it was basically just as good with one exception. I was coming through Atlanta, so I was already probably halfway home, about 5-6 hours into the trip. It was late at night. It was probably around 11 p.m., and I'm driving just like I am right now, just kind of watching straight ahead, not holding the steering wheel, and I got the red hands critical disengagement takeover. And that kind of startled me. It was almost like it was a strike, but it wasn't a strike. There were no flashes or anything up to that. It was a critical disengagement. And then I went into the system to try to figure out FSD was no longer available. And I went into the error notes, and it was essentially a driver assistance system known as DAS system failure. It was a computer crash. I stopped the car. I went into, got out of the, reset the drive, basically, like if it was a strike. I did the double wheel reset. That didn't, resetting the MCU, that didn't bring it back. I couldn't figure out how to get it going. So I texted on X a few folks in our Cybertruck DM group. Shout out to Zach and Brandon and Gregor Truck and those guys. They were like, you gotta go into service mode and you have to reset the driver assistance system. And I had never done that before, but basically you gotta put it in park and you gotta, you know, press on the version number to get it to go into service mode. You gotta type in the password, which is service, and then you gotta go in and unlock it and you gotta reset the DAS computer, and then it came back. So admittedly, this trick did it, but this was not for the faint of heart. I mean, had I not had a video from these guys of how to do this, because I'd never done it before, I wouldn't have been able to figure it out. Specifically, the unlocking of the gateway. You had to hold like the brake and the accelerator and the buttons down. I'm shouting up the top of my head to get the gateway to unlock. But that did reset the DAS computer. And then right after I did that, the steering wheel was available and I was able to continue the drive for 5 hours back home. Maybe I'll make a video about how to reset the DAS computer on my channel. I know there are some other folks that have posted that with other channels that, you know, you could go find it if you need it. But that was the only issue I had on that entire drive, albeit a large one for FSD, that critical failure I gotta edit my trip here. Talking too much. And the dash reset is something that obviously most people would not know how to do. They probably would have, now maybe going into a deep sleep or some of these other things would have put it and reset the computer, but I was in the middle of a road trip and I couldn't put my car to sleep or anything like that. I don't know what would have reset it or if it would have ended up in a service ticket. I'm not sure. I don't know. Leave in the comments below if any of you guys have experienced that, if you've reset your DAS computer, and if you think it's worthwhile for me to put up just a quick 5-minute video how to do the DAS reset. It's probably something that Tesla doesn't want customers doing in service mode, but in the middle of a road trip where you want your FSD to work, I'm very thankful that I was able to do that, because that would have been another 6 hours drive home without any FSD. And I tell you what, it's a big difference having FSD on a road trip. It is just, I bet you can add 4 hours of driving to your normal driving day with FSD than with manually driving. Just the fatigue, the stress of physically driving, and the way you're able to kind of focus on the actual task and not getting tired over a long day. I'll bet 4 hours is about right for me. Anyway, that's my trip highlight, talking about FSD on highway. It's very, very good. And here, this 13.2.4 is acting very, very good on highway too. You know, it's definitely got a buffer in standard mode that's over the speed limit, but it's keeping up with the flow of traffic. I know every time I talk about this, all the Europeans are like, how come you Americans are so happy with speeding? It's a fair question. In aviation, we call this procedural creep. And it is actually a threat to safety. Procedural creep is when you have a specific way you're supposed to do something, and then you start to deviate from that practice just a little bit. And then that little bit of a deviation becomes normal practice to you, and then the people around you, it starts to become normal. And then a little bit more time goes by and you continue to deviate from that new normal. And over time, what you will find is you're no longer doing what you're supposed to be doing. In the flight deck, this is a very dangerous behavior, specifically if you're starting to skip checklists because that never needs to be checked, or you start to make shortcuts about the things you're supposed to say and do because you kind of say, I'm experienced, I know what I'm doing. As soon as you start to deviate from those norms, you start to give those bad habits perhaps to the younger pilots you're flying with. Just like in traffic, you know, I'm now deviating 16 miles an hour over the speed limit, but everyone else around me is going faster than me. We are doing this together with procedural creep in America. Now, in aviation, the way you start to course correct and come back to the normal is through training in the simulator, check rides with instructors that correct you back to the standard, and or, you know, some sort of correction that will get you back to the norm and say, well, this is the way I'm supposed to be doing it. Arguably, what is the correction for drivers? I would argue it's speeding tickets. It's being pulled over. It's being corrected perhaps by somebody you're driving with, maybe a spouse, a significant other, or a friend is like, dude, why are you speeding so much? Those are corrections back to the norm. Here in America, here I am, you know, on this interstate going much faster than the posted speed limit, which arguably is too slow, but there is construction here and things like that. I don't know. What do you guys think? This is procedural creep. But the FSD software somehow has to compensate for it if this vehicle is going to embed itself in the operational domain where humans are doing everything else and they are suffering from procedural creep. But NHTSA is sort of another argument that says, well, you can't deviate. So now is it less safe for the vehicle to not comply and blend into the surrounding environment? I argue this is a debatable subject. That I don't, and these speed profiles are the closest thing we have to starting to homogenize and give some options so that the ego of the vehicle can blend into the operational domain of humans surrounding it. But no doubt about it, we have procedural creep on speed limits here in the United States, both above and below, more typically below. I'm sorry, above the speed limit in many, many roads. Okay, so we've just exited highway mode. Did you guys like that conversation about procedural creep? Sometimes these things pop in my head about analogies to aviation, and I think it's relevant to what the software team is having to try to do. But anyway, let me know in the comments below if you'd like conversations like that. I can either steer towards them or away from them. Okay, so now we got a red arrow. There are no signs that say no right on red, so it should creep forward. No problem. Easy peasy. Again, here we're in low traffic city environment, so we're just effectively navigating the roads. My 360 camera's still on the roof. That's good news. I really do want to thank a lot of you for the support that you gave me. Both some of you were very generous in supporting me in helping get another camera and things like that. That was so unexpected. The thoughtfulness of many of you was really, really, really nice. And also, there's been a lot of generosity on the screen recording project I've got going on. I guess I can give you a quick update on that. So I'm in the process of, I've got a small team together. I set up a GoFundMe to try to get some community source funding to try to develop the solution for recording the Cybertruck screen. Obviously, when we get this out there, everyone will have access to this technology. We're sharing it. This isn't private. I'm not going to make any money off of this, but the gentleman, Adam Urban, who's doing these screen mods, he's the same gentleman that was doing the screen mods on the Model 3 and Y. It will be his IP or his technique in order to perhaps make it available to everyone at whatever cost there is, plus his labor to do it. You can reach out to him once this is available. I was just trying to get the momentum and get Adam the parts he needed so that he could begin the research, because he does not own a Cybertruck. But the status right now, we did order a Cybertruck screen off the electronic parts catalog, the EPC from Tesla. I sent the funding to Adam and he bought it, and it's in his house. He's taken it apart. He did say that the screen came apart a little bit easier than the Model 3 and the Model Y screen as far as pulling the casing off of the glass. And we're doing some diagnostics of the chips and the pinouts and the details to figure out whether or not there's a video feed in there that we can tap into. And I'll continue to support him with the funding from the GoFundMe that you guys have provided to get him the parts he needs. We might need to buy an MCU. All right, I'm gonna stop here because we're taking a left-hand turn here and there's a jogger. You can see she's waiting on me and the truck is being very cautious, and she kind of had to do a loop so that the truck actually would realize she wasn't going. That was one of those scenarios where the wave through didn't work. She needed to kind of take a trajectory that was different than crossing the road, because she was kind of bouncing there in the road, jogging in place, that had the feeling of motion. It was a good clip. The truck did the right thing, but I think her trajectory change is the reason that that worked out. All right, so here's the scenario that I've tried to do in the past. You see these parking spots are blocked off by chains. We have some bollards here, some poles. And this destination, okay, now it's just gonna stop here. The car behind me is going around. I'm gonna go ahead and see what it does here. It's finishing the drive. It's not going into park. It's just kind of stopped here. So I'm gonna disengage it. And I'm going to see it's showing these parking spots available. I'm gonna just go ahead and see if it's gonna try to park in front of these chains. I worry about seeing these skinny, and it's gonna do it. So I'm gonna have to disengage here. I'm just gonna kind of, you know, let this go and let you guys see how it does it. I don't think it's gonna see it. Okay, yeah, see that chain? It sees the bollards. It cannot see the chain and it's trying to park, and that would have been a little dangerous there. So that is still one of these things that we're going to have to talk through with regards to camera resolution. A robo-taxi might not. No, a robo-taxi is going to have to park in spots. And I don't know if these parking things are going to be something it has to deal with like that. So I'm going to go ahead and delete that point, hit done, and then it's already available. I'm going to re-engage there. So now it's going to come around, hopefully, and yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I pay attention to the road, Chuck. I'm looking. There we go. It caged pretty quickly that time. I don't have a ball cap on. I got a little sock hat on, so it does cage pretty quickly with the sock hat. So that's the second failure that I've had, like in that parking scenario here at Memorial Park with that little skinny chain. Some people have said that it is noticing like community gates and little crossbars and things like that, that where it used to not even be able to see those. So that perhaps is an improvement. I can see the chain with my eyeballs. I can even see it in the cameras that it's using. So there's definitely something there we're going to have to continue to talk through. Is it going? It's pushing in front of that car. That was fine. Slow speed traffic, I don't mind it jumping out in front of traffic like that. When these cars are going 15, 20 miles an hour, that's fine. I might have waited for that truck, but did you see that little adjustment there it made? That was kind of a remnant of the old software stack to where it would make turns and have to adjust it. That turn radius adjustment was not very smooth. It was kind of awkward. All right, so this scenario is I'm jamming it down here in the end where it has to do a U-turn. In the Model Y, when it got the ability of reversing, that was the first time we saw it. So I'm editing the trip. I'm getting rid of the cul-de-sac. I'm hitting done. So now it's going to reroute and has to get out of here. It's got the pay attention to the road, Chuck. I'm paying attention. Is it going to have the radius to do it? Cybertruck radius is good. Okay. So here we are in the same scenario that we were on the first version of the Model Y before we got reverse. It's up against the curb. It needs to reverse. Normally we see the trajectory under the car trying to reverse itself, like it wants to reverse. I'm not seeing that today though, are you? You guys? So in the Model Y, in this exact scenario, is where it would very quickly throw it into reverse and do a three-point turn. We're not there yet on the Cybertruck. It just threw the blinker on, so that it's thinking. Blinker ain't gonna help you here, buddy. There's nobody behind me. I can sit here for a minute just to kind of see what it'll do behavior-wise. It is new that I'm not seeing that trajectory of the blue trying to go backwards there, so. Nothing. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and snapshot that just so the team has it available too. And I'm going to throw it into reverse like it would need to do. I'm going to do the maneuver it would need to do. Unable to complete three-point turn. I'm going to go ahead and throw it into drive. And now there's another vehicle. So I'm going to throw it into forward. And now I'm going to let it get itself out of here because I've given it the room, but it needs to kind of go. Look at its cautiousness here. It's very slowly going. This car is kind of going behind. So that car may have created the scenario. It was being really cautious, much less confident than the Model Y. The Model Y loves those scenarios. It's in quick out and it changes very quickly. Cybertruck still has a size buffer or maybe it's just the fact it doesn't have reverse. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but it's the exact same as 13.2.2. So there's no change here. It's just the way this software is currently, functioning. It doesn't have the ability of doing a 3-point turn, park or unpark. And because it doesn't, they haven't even refined maybe that part of the stack to be able to do those maneuvers quickly. All right. So straight ahead after we go through this red light is the 5 points intersection, that we've talked about. I got the Model Y one time into a jam on this and it tried to do a U-turn. And it was, by the way, see how that the planned path has it going to the right? So I am going to try and create the same scenario to where it'll have to kind of go around the turn. And then I'm going to delete the point. It's going to be a navigation kind of a trick. But what I'm trying to prevent it from doing is just quickly going left. I want it to kind of go to the right and have to find its way back. So in order to do that, I'm going to just delete this point after it's committed to the right, and then it's going to remap, and I know it's going to do fine. But one time I got the Model Y to try. Oh, okay. So it decided to park here. Interesting. Okay. Okay, so actually, let me just show you what it did. These parking spots, I'm going to cancel that. These parking spots are straight, and it just kind of did a pullover thing. And it's legal to park on this side of the road, but it did not park in a spot. It just kind of pulled over, and the spaces are straight, and I kind of am diagonally crossing two different spaces. This is an adequate stopping location for that waypoint. So I'm okay with the fact that I had a waypoint and this is an intermediate destination. Absolutely fine with that. I'm not fine with the way it parked necessarily. And it's not even displaying the spaces here like it would if I was in park mode. Like for example, I'm gonna go ahead and hit the brake and let the parking stack show you the spaces. Now, it's properly drawing that line there, and it's not drawing any of the spaces to the right of it, but there's a couple spaces, and that little, there is a little bit of a median over there that it's trying to draw with that occupancy network, but this is kind of the angle that, that the truck has. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and delete that point. I'm gonna slide it into reverse, and I'm gonna have to manually back out. You see that truck? You see the red on the screen? It's kind of watching. And I'm gonna go ahead and back out. I'm not gonna touch the steering wheel because the steering wheel's at a good angle. See the spots pop up? All right, so now I'm gonna throw it into drive and now engage. Nobody behind me, so I can kind of let it think here. Very slow here. Okay, so that right turn surprises me. I kind of want to see, oh wait, I need to change that route there. I hadn't hit done yet. So now, see that route? That's gonna be problematic. It's not gonna be able to do that. And that matter of fact, it's treating this as a traffic circle when that traffic circle is not possible. And now it's got a left blinker. Nobody behind me, so I don't know what it's actually doing here. Maybe waiting on that pedestrian? I don't know. Is it, ooh, is it, if it turns left here, that's the best scenario. It does not need to go around that traffic circle legally. Good, it didn't. So here is where vision and I guess the planner are still Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde to me a little bit. I'm like, I'm glad you didn't follow that planner. I don't know why you didn't follow the planner, but you made the right choice in that specific intersection because that was not actually a traffic circle. It's a, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's just a, we, that's why we call it 5 points. It's just one of those old intersections that hasn't ever been updated. So that was really good. That was a good decision on the Cybertruck. I'm not sure I've ever tested it with that exact scenario before where the planner had completely remapped it and it went home. But nice job on that one. I still wish the planner and vision were a little tighter sometimes. But I know like in parking lots and things like that where the planner just doesn't have the data, the vision has to be able to decide on its own where to go. And that was a good scenario, just like perhaps a parking lot, try to navigate to where you need to head. Okay, here, now look at this. Look at this, another green light, and he is giving right away. He's gonna, okay, so now I'm pressing the accelerator to intervene because of a wave through, and I don't have anything on my calendar today. Did you see that? I was green, I had the right away, but I didn't take it, and it created confusion with an oncoming driver who knew he had to wait on me. Now granted, the only thing about me is I've got a camera on the top of the car, and that guy might have gone, oh, he's out doing something. But he was doing this wave through in the glass that I could see, but I shouldn't have been waiting anyway. I had the right of way. That's disappointing. That's the second time we've had a green light issue. I'm watching this truck here now. He's kind of changing his mind very quickly. It's like it was treating the green light as a stop sign again or something. And it was giving right away to somebody that it didn't need to. I don't know where that snuck into the stack. Hopefully it didn't sneak in from 12.6.1 and we're not going backwards here. City Streets was a little bit better than that on previous versions on the Cybertruck. So this is starting to make me wonder about this build number, and we've got 12.6.1 and 13.2.4 on the exact same branch. Are they using the same data sets? Are we gonna start seeing the same behaviors? Because to me, that was a regression to see it twice on the same drive with right-of-way issues at a green light. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I'm sitting here thinking while I'm talking about why this might be happening on the Cybertruck. And maybe this is just a small end count and this has been going on the whole time and I'm just seeing it for the first time perhaps on this drive today. You know, obviously every drive is a unique experience with the traffic you encounter. Yeah. All right, let me see which way it has planned me home. So it's jumping back out on the road there. That is, not, yeah, okay. So I'm gonna just let it do its thing because that intersection out there is gonna give us a longer drive on Roosevelt, which is a little less city street. No, I'm gonna go straight. I'm gonna go ahead and, okay, we got a red light anyway. So this disengagement is just for me modifying the planner. I don't wanna go to the right. I want to kind of go through the city street section a little bit further ahead. All right, and once it remaps, I'll engage. And hopefully it's not gonna continue to fight. Okay, that's a good trajectory there, yeah. I don't know what changed. I'm trying to think of something that changed in this version that I can say I noticed. The functionality is identical. Speed profiles, they've been there. No additional buttons for starting from park, no reverse capability. The release notes were identical. So obviously maybe the data set changed. I did, one of my turns did have that little recorrection midstream, which means turning radiuses are still kind of being modified from something the model is seeing with a wider radius of turn. Obviously something changed. The biggest thing that's changed is the fact that we have the same build number for two different hardware versions. So that is probably what changed, is trying to do a little bit of less, I don't want to say work, but whatever is going on under the hood so that the team isn't having to maintain multiple branches and try to harmonize the data sets and perhaps the work. That feels like what this version is about, harmonization. I mean, I guess I would have loved a release note at the very top that said harmonization across hardware 3 and 4, or something like that to say it, but that didn't get said. So we're out here guessing. Okay, did I finish the subject on the screen mod? Let me think about that. I think I did. It's going well. It's not done yet. Some people are reaching out to ask, you know, is it done? No, Adam's working on it, and hopefully we'll find a solution. We don't have a solution yet. We may end up having to buy an MCU, which can't be bought off the parts catalog, and I may have to find one off of salvage if that's the case. You know, guys, stay in touch with me if you know how to get a hold of any of those parts, should I need to buy them. You know, we still have a little bit further to get towards our goal on the GoFundMe, but where we are now, I'm okay with, if, you know, until we need to buy more parts. But if anybody wants to add their name to the list contributing to this project, feel free to check that out. That should be in the description of this video. I just want to reinforce, this is a community effort. I'm just trying to coalesce the resources to let Adam do his work. And this isn't about personal gain or definitely profit. If anybody profits off of this, it'll be the engineer, Adam, who's working on the solution. Okay, do you see that yellow light back there? That yellow light was good. It didn't pause at all. So it's going through yellow lights like it should, but it's stopping at green lights like it shouldn't. I don't know. This little turn here is another good one to watch radius to turn on. Oh, you see how it actually crossed that gore section there? And it was even mapped as a gore section. So I've got a red light here. But while I'm waiting on it, I just kind of want, can you see this kind of median intersection out here in the middle going left? Now I got a green arrow. It's got to really get the radius to turn right. No problem. That was good. And it didn't reconnect at all or recorrect at all. That was a nice, smooth trajectory. Sometimes those odd angles, I worry that it's just going to try to cut the corner and clip with the curb. That used to be our fear, you know, early on in early versions. You know, we were curbing tires all the time just because the radius wasn't right for the rear tires. The braking curves have seemed good on this version. I didn't have any problems with 13.2.2. They had kind of fixed the braking curve issue where it felt like it was aggressively stopping at the last second. I haven't had a lot of high-speed braking curves yet, like, and maybe we'll get one here on Roosevelt on the way back just to get a double check on that. The Model Y, the AI4 Model Y did not get this software update yet today, which is a little bit of a mystery, right? Because previously the Cybertruck and the Model Y were both on 13.2.2. The Cybertruck has now jumped to 13.2.4, but the much more capable AI4 Model Y is still on 13.2.2, which further makes the argument of, is the Cybertruck going down a different branch with Hardware 3 than the Model Y is? And I guess we could talk about that a little bit, because guess what? This week in China, the Juniper release of the Model Y got released with those pictures showing it out there. It's on the website. You can pre-order one. It's got that light bar that's very reminiscent of the Cybercab. While I think the design is kind of futuristic and I like it, everyone that I know in my family that likes the Model Y has said they don't like it. That light bar just is a little bit too, I don't know, Cybercab-like, perhaps. I don't know. We'll see. It'll probably sell. I tell you what, if they put AI4 in it and possibly AI5 in the future, they will not have a problem selling that vehicle. The looks will grow on people if they truly want to be in a Tesla. That little light bar isn't going to keep people from buying it. But the initial look is a deviation from an existing customer base, if that makes sense. So, you know how when they refreshed the Model S, they kind of gave it that look, and every Model S customer was like, oh, that new one looks so good. I don't know that every current Model Y customer is looking at that Juniper and going, oh my God, I really want that new Model Y. I think the Highland did do that for the Model 3 people. I think all the Model 3 folks that wanted the upgraded Model 3 saw that Highland and just said, oh, it looks so much better. I don't think we're having the same reaction with the Model Y as we did with the refreshed S and the refreshed 3. Maybe you guys disagree with me or not, but it is obviously an interesting point that the Model Y Juniper has a front bumper camera. And in the front bumper camera notes, and I haven't been able to find a link to this yet, but everyone's cutting and pasting it to it, so I just need to find it. It's referring to the front bumper camera assisting with parking and automated driver assistance. So automated driver assistance to me means FSD. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it means something else like parking lot driving and stuff like that. But if it is FSD enabled, which right now on the Cybertruck, the bumper camera is not, I do need to do another test to continue to test that it's not. But that front bumper camera, depending on its field of view, could be a very important part of getting more forward visibility. I don't personally think I would have gone with a fisheye lens to get left and right high speed traffic views. But if you can get the field of view out of that bumper camera and at least just see pixels are moving and avoid creeping into traffic, that's something. To me, I would have rather had high resolution cameras looking left and right to assist with the B-pillar cameras to give it some parallax and to give high resolution imagery for high speed cross traffic determination. I don't know that a fisheye is doing all that, but hey, at least we got another camera. Hopefully it'll be part of the suite like on the Cybertruck. The engineers have said it will be part of FSD. They told me that at the We Robot event, so I'm looking forward to that. More than likely, it's going to have a lot more to do with the park, unpark, summon, parking lot kind of navigation and things like that, because that's where that low blind spot is really kind of scary, pulling in and around other vehicles. But hopefully that bumper camera can see things like that chain we saw. I'm looking ahead. I just am blinded by this sun. I'm just going to pull this visor down. Okay, it saw me looking forward. So I don't know. What do you guys think about the Model Y Juniper? What do you think about the front bumper camera? I think it's great that it's there. I don't think it's everything I was hoping for, but I'm still going to give the team the benefit of the doubt that they're working towards it. That very first turn that we did on this drive with that unprotected turn, the Cybertruck lumbered out in front of fast oncoming traffic, and while it was able to complete the maneuver without any sort of danger, it's because that car that was approaching had to probably slow down 20 miles an hour to give the safe margin of error that it wanted. I know there's going to be people out here that said you had plenty of room, that wasn't dangerous. I disagree with you. It shouldn't have done that. Go out and talk to Dirty Tesla and a few other guys that have had issues in the last few weeks with this truck jumping out in front of fast oncoming traffic and just pretending like it owned the world and could slowly lumber. You're going to get into an accident if you jump out in front of fast oncoming traffic. Even if it's not your fault because you got rear-ended, that's not a safe maneuver. Without using the acceleration that you have in order to accelerate to the right speed. You've got the acceleration, use it. Anyway, get off my soapbox there. Well, we are at the end of our drive here on this Memorial Park First Impressions drive on the Cybertruck build 2024.452515 on FSD version 13.2.4, which surprisingly for the first time is on the same build number as the Hardware 3 Model Ys that are getting FSD version 12.6.1. Anyway, thanks for sticking with me today. Let me know in the comments below what you think. Appreciate you being here. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, everybody.